You've tuned in to part two of a two-part podcast. The Roundtable Podcast goes to Balticon. Let me segue, since long as this seems to align with what we're talking about. Let me throw up Jared Axelrod. Brian, I don't know if you know who Jared Axelrod is.
No.
But he just released The Battle of Blood and Ink, which is this awesome graphic novel. I was at the book launch at lots of book launches at Balticon too, which was very, very cool. And Jared's was definitely one of the most awesome. He did a reading from it, and he's a skilled, obviously a skilled actor, a skilled thespian, and a gifted writer. Wonderful hand with dialogue, and it's a graphic novel as well. Awesome. And he supported everything. The whole Fables of the Floating City podcast is the events that lead up to this graphic novel. Cool. So he was definitely three sheets to the wind when he recorded this, but even then he's articulate. Give a listen to this. It's awesome.
Okay.
Talon is often compared to Prodigy, and I would say that Talon is probably closer to prodigious. People who work hard get results. And people who continue to work hard get results. And what happens is, if you have someone who is talented, who this comes easy to, they are more likely to work hard. But that doesn't mean someone who is not originally talented can't work hard and achieve the same results. I am certainly talented. I'm not going to argue that. This is what the beauty of arguing while I'm drunk is, I can say that. Right? But I would also say that the success I've have gotten, while be related to my talent, has had more to do with my persistence. You know, I used to say that it took 2 years of emailing the editor to get a book deal. And a lot of people would have given up after one. Because that's a reasonable time. 12 months of constant emails with no response. Most people would have given up. And yeah, so it's not prodigy, it's prodigious. It's people who work succeed, and I mean, that's all.
Bam.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and a recurring awesome. Theme emerges.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So, and
it's how hard you work.
Yeah, exactly. And I love what he says about, you know, people who work get results.
Right.
You know, and going back to your analogy about the person without talent, and again, I'm not in the camp that there is such a thing as talent that you're born with, but a person without talent that works hard becomes a prince and can be a very happy prince who can make a profound difference in the world. It's not that the goal is to be a god. It's to express yourself in the best way you can, in the way that most aligns with your passions and your desires.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact,
you're still royalty.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely, you know what I mean? You're royalty.
So yeah, you still ascend to a different class.
Yeah.
By putting in the energy.
And I was listening to I Should Be Writing episode 250 today, in the car while I was stuck in traffic. Thank God for podcasts. and actually listening to other podcasts that day. I forget what else I was listening to. Yeah, doesn't matter. But a theme started emerging about defining your level of success. Mm-hmm. You know, what exactly is it that you want? You know, and we live in a culture where it's like, I want it all. I want to be on the New York Times bestseller list. I want people to shower me with praise and riches and fame and so on and so forth. And a lot of people will not say that out loud, but in their heart of hearts, you know, if you listen, that's what they're going for. They're looking for that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. I mean, that's how we're raised. That's one of the affirmations that I think our culture instills in us. But, you know, ultimately, if all you want to do is tell a good story to somebody else, you can do that right now.
Right.
And if that's the underpinning of your definition of success, and you strive passionately to achieve that, just that, in my opinion, everything else comes.
Right.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
There's my soapbox.
That's fabulous. That's a sound bite.
There you go.
Yeah. But I think that fear is the biggest enemy of advancement. No, that's not right. Of energy, of passion.
Yeah.
Fear of happiness, tempers passion.
Of life, of love. It is. It's the antithesis. It's the other side of the coin of love.
Right, right. Passion. But what I'm talking about is, you know, like you're absolutely right that, you know, I have 8, 10 probably stories in my back pocket that I've been sending out off and on, you know, not enough to do anything with, but off and on. And, you know, I'll get one back and it'll be rejected and I'll stick it in a drawer and it'll sit there for another year until I get the, oh, I need to be sending things out. And so then I dig it out and I clean it up and I send it out again. And one of the things that, you know, I was talking to Allie about is that I sent something out to Drabblecast and they moved it on to the next level. And right. That to me was success.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't take it. They didn't buy it. That's fine. But having even just like a submissions editor who in his bio, you know, says, I don't know anything about literature or something to that effect, whatever it is. Even to have him think that my piece is quality enough to be considered at a higher level is success to me. And so I had one of those. Now I have another one in with Pseudopod that has gone up to the next level.
Really? You know? Awesome. Yeah. Dude.
And that was one that, you know, I hadn't heard back from them for 3 months. And so I sent them an email and they're like, oh yeah, it's on to the next level. And so I don't know if that was like a, oh crap, we didn't look at it. And so
no,
to appease
I don't think
you,
so.
But I doubt so. It. I, you know, and see already that's that little fear in me going, well, maybe it, you know, it was, uh-huh. It was a pity thing and uh-huh. it's not. And so that to me is success. And even if they don't buy it, that's fine. That's two that have gone to the next level, which means to me that my writing is getting better and I need to keep working at it. And the more that I work at it, the more success I'll have. But, but that's the idea, you know, and that's, I think that kind of goes into what you were saying is we have this fear that if we put that story out there, even, you know, we think it's a good story. We put it out there. We can, cause we can just podcast it ourselves. We can, you know, publish it on the internet ourselves or just put it up on Kindle or whatever.
And so many places to submit it. So many editors.
Right. Right. And so you have that fear that somebody's going to come along and say it's crap. But what I have finally come to realize is that, and I think it was Nathan that told me this. It was Nathan Lowell. He came to visit my class and was talking to my kids. And I asked him about this. And he said of the people that don't like his work, that they're just not his audience.
There you go.
And it's that simple. It's that simple. And I think that's the fear that a lot of us have is, well, what if I put it out there and nobody likes it? Well, then that nobody is not your audience. And eventually your audience will find it.
Sure.
And, you know, even if it's 10 people that like it, that's 10 people that you have in some way enriched their lives. So get your shit out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And ignore everybody else because there's stupid people online who write stupid shit who shouldn't be on there. And they're not my students because my students know better. But yeah, that's my rant.
Let's do another one. This is another person who hasn't been on the podcast, but I dearly hope will someday. Starla Hutchton, who is a multi-talented young woman. She writes. She has a gorgeous voice. She makes gorgeous book covers for ebooks. She's the whole package, and a very charming lady. And she had this to say about the question at hand.
Well, I'm kind of the opinion that's a little bit of both, because you can be born with a certain amount of ability, but if you're not in the right environment, you know, raised by the right kind of people that will help cultivate that, or in a situation where you can exploit that, it kind of flounders and it disappears, and then you have nothing. So I do think it's a little bit of both.
If a person has gone through a lifestyle that has not nurtured that creativity and that quote-unquote talent, can that be, you know, if they have the desire, can they cultivate talent? Can talent be grown?
I think skill can be grown.
Okay.
if a person finds that, you know, after they've gotten out of whatever situation, however they grew up, you know, whatever the case might be, I think they will always have this sort of interest in it. And given the opportunity, then they can cultivate it.
So I found it interesting. You know, Starla adds yet another layer to the discussion there, talking about environment. And how you grow up, how your circumstances can either enhance or fuel talent. And in this case, at this point in the discussion, we can say talent slash passion, or not.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you have to consider in every aspect, how environment has altered things. I mean, I see it every day as a teacher. You know, I've got kids who come in who are very, very smart, very good at what they do. They're in everything. They're musicians, they're actors, they're writers, they're passionate about life. And I see their parents all the time. And they're brought up with a certain value system, you know? And I'm not talking about religion at all.
Sure.
You know, before anybody starts going in that direction, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just values in general. And then I have kids who, you know, I try to get them to write a short story and they're like, this is lame. And well, okay, but you still have to do it, you know? And so there is no passion for it. There's no internal motivation. And these are the kids that I never see their parents, or you call their parents and let them know that they're slipping behind, and you get bitched at by the parent because the parent sleeps during the day and is mad that you woke them up. Right. And they're like, you know, well, what do you want me to do about it? Kind of thing. It's like, well, okay, that's environment. Sure. And so how many of these people, and this is what blows my mind every day, is how many of these kids could be so brilliant at things if they had the right environment.
Yeah.
And so we don't get to see their talent or their passion in things. And some of them have it. Some of them are, I had a kid who was just an absolutely brilliant graffiti artist. You know, and I say that in all seriousness, like I saw his work all over the place, but I knew that it was his, and it was something that he had a gift for it. And he had friends that tagged up things as much as he did who just didn't get it as the way that he did. And that's where it's like, okay, so is it talent?
Yeah. Well,
you know, he had something that they didn't, and he found a way to use it, and he had a passion for it. And, well, and I got him to turn something in, and he, you know, to a contest, and he won the contest. And so maybe I was hoping that would kind of guide him in a direction where he can use it productively.
Sure. There's an affirmation there.
Right. Right. And you know, he was really proud of that, and that was fabulous, but you know,
you are so Stand By Me. You are so you are like that teacher. You know,
I'm trying so hard. Dangerous Minds, man.
You're Michelle Pfeiffer. You are so Michelle Pfeiffer.
Uh-huh. You realize in that movie that she only really has one class of like 25 kids.
Sure. Amazing, yeah, isn't it? In an inner city school.
Seven classes of 30, 35 apiece.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
You can't do what she does.
That's right.
Well, I mean,
to get back on topic before we rip off on the education system.
You get my point.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me throw out some quick John Miro. John Miro from Canada didn't know he was going to be at Balticon. He was the Balticon fairy. And John, I know you're getting ready to punch me in the face for saying that, but I say that because he was freaking everywhere. And from hitting the ground, he was the first face I recognized at Balticon, at which point he and I, he was there with Scott Herzog of scifidiner.com. And he said, I said, hey, can we do lunch? Because I didn't know. I assumed there was lunch somewhere in the hotel. And he said, yeah, let's go to Panera. And so Terry and I are sitting there. Terry's in her flip-flops, and we just landed and got into the hotel. And it turns out Panera's like a half mile away, and it's hot, and Terry's wearing flip-flops, and we're both good. And John's going, no, we can go slow. we were going so slow. but throughout all of this, the man has amazing energy and constant connection with every person that he came in contact with. It was, you know, looking you in the eye and saying, how you doing, or making a joke, and also always affirming that he's from Canada. Apparently, that's the mea culpa for anything that went on. Ooh, sorry, I touched your boob. I'm from Canada. Not that he ever did that. Not that he ever did that. But
that's awesome.
You know, so here's John Miro.
Talent is something that you are innately capable of. You are talented. You have a talent to hold your breath for a long time. You have a talent to write really quickly. You have a talent to curate and capture your imagination. So I think talent is something that comes with the package of DNA you're born with. It can be honed, just like someone can train for a marathon, to create much more capable and fully fledged creations.
And I think he was a little inebriated at the time too. So
yes, that seems to be a running theme.
There was a lot of these people were all gathered together on Sunday night when the big fuvara was. So it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, John clearly falls into the camp of the talent, the gifts that you're born with. And I don't think there's any arguing that we all come into the world with a template, but even he affirms you hone it, you work with it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you get those freaks, you know, like there was something, well, I mean, freak in the nicest way possible.
Of course.
There was something in the news the other day about a girl who at the age of 3 was reading novels.
Yeah.
You know, or like she was reading at the age of 2, I know, but I don't know at what level of literature. But, you know, and then you hear about these all the time. And like these kids who graduate from MIT, you know, at the age of 14. And it's like, what the hell? But I think what we're talking about here is sort of more the common man. And, you know, are you born with a talent? I don't think that anybody's saying that talent is, you know, the ability to walk over and pick up a pen and write the first thing that you write gets published, you know, and ever kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, and there are some times where something similar to that happens. It's kind of freakish. But no, I do think that we're born with talents. I think that we're born with particular capabilities, certain inclinations towards certain things. But that's exactly it, is that you have to zero in on it. You have to have a passion for it, and you have to hone it. You have to work on it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do agree that if you don't have a talent, if it does not come easy to you, but you have enough passion for it that you can do, you know, I don't know if you can do just as much, but you can do, you know, enough to succeed you know, on a nice level.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's hear from the other side of the coin. This is Scott Roche, who has been a guest writer on the show and will doubtless one day be our guest host as well, because the man just continues to crank out the writing and the books and the stories. And he's a tall drink of water, too. He's taller than me.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm not used to being dwarfed in my photos. I'm used to being the biggest guy there, and hell no.
Yeah, and you know, you said that John was the first guy that you recognized.
Yeah.
I'm going through those pictures, and I'm like, I don't recognize any of these people. They don't look anything like the pictures that they gave us. But
yeah.
I guess you just have to kind of look at them at the right angle.
Yeah, well, and constantly be trolling and stalking them on websites and so on, all that crap. Yeah,
absolutely. Google Images.
Yeah. So here's Scott Roche.
Cool.
Yes.
Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so talent is potential. I think everybody is born with potential. I believe that every human being is born with a creative spirit. Your talent is something you have to develop. So, and everybody's talent is different, but everybody has a talent. Now, specifically when it comes to writing, not everybody's born with the talent to write. Okay. But I believe that talent must be nurtured, developed. It's a seed. So I also believe, though, that if you're not born with the quote-unquote talent, you can also work your ass off and develop a talent. But there are people that it comes more naturally to. So no question, there are some people born with talent to write. But those people may not end up being writers. They may end up just sort of futzing around, like I did for a long time. But yeah, talent is not something that, talent alone cannot carry you. You have to work your ass off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And before we comment on that, let me just segue gracefully right into Merle Lafferty, who was even more eloquent and even more drunk than Scott Roche was. But again, what astonishes me about, no matter how many sheets are in the wind with these people, they know so intimately, in hardwired into them, exactly what they're saying, and the spirit and the essence of what they're saying is so crystal clear. So here's Merle Lafferty.
Talent is something you're born with. Talent is also something like urine. I mean, you just piss it away. You got to do more. It's like talent is but a tool. If you don't do anything with the tool, it's like, ooh, I got the best hammer in the world. Look at me with my hammer. If you don't do anything with it, you're useless. You're a piece of shit. Okay. If you've got somebody with a really shitty hammer who works every day, works really hard, maybe hits a nail wrong here and there, but works really hard, they will build something better than the person who's got the best hammer in the world. Talent is a tool. And that's one thing that in talking to other creatives this weekend I've discovered is that everything is a tool. Kickstarter's not a magic bullet. It's a tool. Podcasting's a tool. It's like, if you do not have the hard work and the talent, and talent is a tool, but if you don't have the hard work and the talent and the ability to do the work, Kickstarter's not going to help you. Podcasting's not going to help you. If you don't have if you're not able to do the work, talent's not going to help you. You can't just sit there and lean back and go, I am the most talented person in the world. Watch the sweat pour from my pores as I am talented all over this couch. No, you got to work. No, talented will get you nowhere if you don't work. If you don't work, if you work hard and you don't have talent, you might get farther than other people who have talent and think that's as far as they'll take them.
I love the image of the watch me sweat and talent all over this sofa.
That's right.
What a great idea. And she's right. You know, if you don't do the work, who cares how talented you are?
Right. And that's what it comes down to again, is energy and effort.
Yes.
You know, what kind of effort are you going to put in? Yeah. That was, I wanted to say, Scott made me think of something, and it's weird how things connect, but potential energy. Right.
Yes.
Like, I'm thinking back to when I was in high school, and I remember when they were describing potential energy to me, they were talking about like a round iron ball at the top of a hill. Right.
Yes.
It has potential energy. It has the potential to roll down the hill. You just need kinetic energy. You need something to move it. Right? To push it, to get it into action. And then that potential energy can just take off. So that's the effort, is the pushing of it. But if you have something that is, you know, flat and square and iron and sitting on the top of the hill, it's not going anywhere unless you push really, really, really hard. And so to me, that's really the representation. I think Scott had it dead on, was that talent is potential. It's you may have more potential because you've been given certain gifts. You're round. You're able to roll. You know.
But regardless of that potential, that potential does not define the limits,
right?
The heights that you can achieve.
No, it may make it easier to get there, but you still have to put some kinetic energy behind it.
Yes, and that I can get behind. Wherever this discussion ends up in terms of is there talent, isn't there talent, regardless of whether there is or isn't. It is not a defining element of how far you can go, how high you can go, or how good you can be.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's bring Dad into the mix, shall we?
Oh,
yes.
Old Dad McCumber.
Dad McCumber, yes, indeed. Who still owes me my allowance for this week.
He didn't buy you a beer?
I bought him.
I bought him.
Man, dude, you got he's our father, you know.
Well, that's the difference between a true father and an illegitimate father.
he said I hadn't cleaned my room, so I don't get a beer. So,
there you go. He's teaching you a lesson.
He is a valuable lessons. Here's Justin.
Okay.
I think everybody is born with a certain amount of talent. Everybody who has ever been birthed by a woman has talent. How much of that they have, I think, is a certain amount of genetics, but then what do they do with it beyond that? And after your genetics, it's how are you raised? Who are the people around you? Who supports that growth? And unfortunately, there are just a lot of parents and teachers and people who aren't interested in supporting that, you know, that kind of talent that people have. They would rather they just lived a normal life and got a normal job, because the arts are a risky thing, and it's a rare parent that really wants to encourage their children to risk things. I was always kind of fortunate that my mother was supportive of us having artistic outlets and following those. You know, my dad's retired Army, and so for him, life is really rules, regs. You keep your head down and you just do what you need to do. But he was also a reader, and so for that, I can thank him for a certain love of books and a love of sci-fi and fiction, because that's what he used to read a long time ago before he kind of became a sourpuss, and now all he reads are biographies of crusty people I don't want to ever read about. But my mother always supported me, and my grandparents were always incredibly supportive, and my brother, who is, I think, more gifted than I am, but lacking a bit of focus, has always been supportive. And so everybody around me has constantly encouraged me, and I think if more people had that, they would, you know, they would have burgeoning careers too. Unfortunately, though, the world can't run on everybody being an artist or a painter. Somebody has to fix the pipes. Somebody has to collect the garbage. Somebody has to police our streets. And somebody's got to suture up, you know, a wound when you get it. So even if you've got talent, we all can't, unfortunately, we all just can't be that artist that we maybe want to be. And it's the fortunate few who are born with the talent, surrounded by people who encourage it, and then they take that and build something from it. And I wish more people would at least indulge their passions a bit more and didn't just sit on the couch every night watching Two and a Half Men or NCIS, wherever the hell. But, you know, people are content to live their lives and that, and I'm content to let them live their lives that way too.
There you go.
See, and the thing that strikes me about that is, you know, Justin brings up, he's very focused in, because that's very much the space that we were in. It was all about the arts and the writing and the stuff. And I think I spun the question very specifically towards writing, but right. Justin in his wisdom and in encompassing of the broader spectrum invokes, you know, tasks other than writing or painting or music. And I think it's important to note that passion, you know, while this podcast is very much about writing and the creative process, if we scrape off the writing part and just talk about the creative process, mm-hmm. that manifests in so many ways.
Absolutely.
You know, he talks about sweeping the streets and fixing the pipes, you know, that there is an art to everything, or there can be, I think, an art to everything.
Right.
And I think that's what distinguishes the true achievers from the people that are just doing the job.
Yeah, he mentioned suturing wounds. You know, somebody's got to be there to suture your wounds. And you really, you don't want somebody who is untalented in the medical arts suturing your wounds.
Or not passionate about it.
Yeah, and that's right. And you know, I used to work for brain surgeons, and everybody always describes the doctors that I worked for as, you know, type A personality. And I think that's just a whole different type of talent.
Yeah.
And he said the word focus.
Right.
Justin did, you know, and I think he's right there, is that you talent without focus, we've been talking about this, you know, you have to have the energy, you have to have the effort, and you also have to have the focus for it and the passion for it. And maybe that's another word for passion is focus when it's in more of a left brain talent.
Sure.
You know, like medicine. Sure. And those guys were so focused that they couldn't be bothered with anything else. You know, there was no other aspect of their life. It was all about the job, and thank God, because otherwise you'd have people opening up people's heads who don't really know what they're doing or don't care enough to do the absolute best job that they can possibly do.
Well, and it really is, you know, we talk about literary alchemy and literary alchemists and so on. It is an alchemy. It is a fusion of left brain and right brain, of focus and passion, of literally marshaling every element, every aspect that you can bring to bear on whatever it is that you're passionate about. And if you do that, oh my God, the potential, the possibilities, you know, so So thank you, Justin, for that. And by the way, shout out to Justin, who just released Haywire, available on Amazon and in fine bookstores.
That's right.
Make that scene.
Anywhere that literary gold is sold.
That's indeed. Indeed. And I got one more, and we really got to wrap this up because we've been blathering forever. My God, this is going to be longer than our workshop episodes, for crying out loud.
I don't know who's gonna want to listen to us anymore.
I don't know. I don't know. They're going to be tired.
But thank God some people will.
Yeah, maybe. Hello. anybody still there? Well, if so, then in my opinion, we saved the best for last. Brian, I met some amazing people and just laughed and learned so much from Nathan and from Paul and John and Lauren, everybody. It was such a blast. But Mike Cole for me was a revelation. The man, you know he's in the room. When you walk in a room, you know Mike Cole is in the same room with you somehow, some way. Every panel that he was on, always very respectful of the other panelists, but when it was his turn, the man shined. The man shone. Shone would be the proper verb tense. Just an amazing guy. Very funny, very articulate, very well read, as we found in our podcast. And here's Mike's answer to the question.
I think I'm going to sort of evade here and say that the question is irrelevant, because talent is not a thing that can be measured. Talent is not a thing that can be quantified. And in the end, if you're asking yourself that question as a means of whether or not you put the effort in towards whatever your goal is, then my answer to you is forget about it. There's no way to know. In the end, all you can control is the work. And that, my friend, whether you're talented or not, is the clincher in any dream you're pursuing. And that doesn't just go for writing. It goes for anything in life. So my response is, talent, forget it. Instead, focus on what you can control. Discipline, hard work, and stick-to-itiveness.
Bam.
That's it.
That is it. You know? And ultimately, the question is irrelevant, because Mike's absolutely right. You know, control what you can control. Work what you can control. And that is your work, your effort, what you choose to assign your resources to.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. And just the, I think what really wraps that up is that when we ask that question and we debate talent versus effort, we're really pitting ourselves against other people. And I think what he just did is say, you can't, you have to only work against yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so then what is the point? What is the point of caring who has what talent? Because if you can't continue to grow for you, as opposed to trying to be as good as or better than others, then you're not pursuing it the way that it needs to be pursued.
And that right there is why I love having you as my co-host. Seriously. I mean, that sentiment right there, I think more than anything else, because we're all, we don't exist in a vacuum. The Roundtable Podcast is about not existing in a vacuum, about people coming together. But J.R. Blackwell was tweeting today about artists not competing with each other. That artists and those that pursue the arts in whatever form they take, if you seek out and engage with other people, and don't worry whether they're better than you or you're better than them, it's irrelevant. The two of you together, or the three of us together, or the five of us together, are so much more than the sum of our parts. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Brian. Don't worry about those external comparisons of how's he doing on Kindle, or how's he doing on the Amazon boards, or where's, you know, is he writing more pages than I, or is she, you know, selling more artwork than I am?
Right.
Doesn't matter. It's,
no.
It's your art. It's your creativity. It's your passion. It's your talent. And you know, again, defining your successes. You know, what is your level of success? And be honest and realistic. Well, no, not even realistic. Screw that. But scrape away all the ego and the societal overlays of what is success and what is, you know, comfort and blah, blah, blah. And get down to the deep, deep, deep heart of why you do what you do. And that, there's your mojo right there. And absolutely. Then find people that have that same resonance and create with them. Oh my God. Right. So to sum up, Brian.
Yes. Yes.
Work hard.
Yes.
Fuel your passions.
Mm-hmm.
Play well with others.
Yes.
What else?
And don't busy yourself with two things. Don't busy yourself with whether you're as good as someone else.
Yes. Good.
And don't busy yourself with the idea that if you send something out there, somebody may not like it.
Yep.
Because that's not your audience.
Yes. Give yourself give yourself
your audience will find you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to throw this out there because that's terrible.
that's a lovely
putting idea. Up the update on the website,
which was awesome, by the way.
Well, thank you. I worked hard on it because I wanted you to be proud of me, you know, and that's why I do everything. But no, when I was looking and at first I couldn't find anything and I was like, what the hell? But then as I started digging, I started to see that everybody that I was looking up had something within the last few months that they had achieved. And it didn't matter. And I think this plays into what we're talking about. It didn't matter the level of achievement because all of them I looked at as, holy crap, look how successful this person is.
Yeah.
And it could be something as simple as, you know, they wrote a short story, they published it themselves on Kindle, you know, which I am finding is increasingly easier to do, I guess. But it's up there and people are looking at it, people are reading it, and people are buying it, and people are writing reviews of it. And that's no less an accomplishment, as far as I'm concerned, as publishing a book with a traditional publisher, you know,
sure.
Because you're getting your stuff out there, you're putting it on display, you're finding an audience, you're doing the work. And it's everything that I saw was quality. Everything that I saw had merit and, you know, had just exceptional value to it. And I felt like we really have found some amazing people.
Yeah.
And that these people are doing things. And I think that drives me, you know. It's not I feel like I'm not doing enough. It's that I feel like I want to do more.
We're inspired.
And it's not because, yeah, I'm inspired. And it's true inspiration. It's genuine inspiration. It's not the kind of inspiration where it's like, well, look at how much more they're doing than me. And I better get to work. It's not that kind of thing. It's like, God, they're creating. And it must be amazing to be, you know, to have that feeling. And I want that feeling. And I'm going to create.
Because there you go.
And so, yeah, just wanted to throw that out there.
I feel you, brother. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Well, good.
So, and dear, geez, let's wrap this up because holy
let's
crap, this is like our longest episode ever. And it was just the two of us. So, well, actually, I guess it was the two of us plus 13.
Yes.
So thank you to all the people who subjected themselves to a couple minutes of me shoving a microphone in their mouths. Everyone was very generous and very gracious, and that was much appreciated. So Brian, we'll get you out to the Balticon, man, because it was inspiring. You know, talking about inspiration,
no doubt.
It was inspiring.
We'll make it happen.
To all the friends that I met, you know, Hugh O'Donnell, shook hands with T and Pip. That was awesome. Christopher Morse was there. That's Scott Herzog, Dave Subkowiak, who's going to be on the show in a couple weeks. So many people. I'm forgetting names, and I'm sorry. Wow. To be surrounded by so many people so passionate about what they do in so many different ways was probably more impressive, more inspiring, more invigorating than the panels themselves and any individual thing out there. So that community was very strong and very potent, and it was very cool.
Very cool.
All right. Any closing comments, Bri? Because maybe we got to close this thing up.
I got nothing left in me at this point. I'm sure I've got another 5 hours, but I just got to muzzle myself.
I hear you. Well, you know, the site that I'm going to try and get this up as soon as possible, and we can go back and revisit. And maybe there'll be some blog posts out of all this discussion. I think
hopefully,
a lot of good ground that was covered. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in, as always. If you were at Balticon, I hope you got a kick out of some of this. If you weren't at Balticon, I hope you have the deep, deep gnawing hunger to join us there next year in 2013. Regardless, if you have comments, observations, thoughts, flamers, go away. I know I probably deserve one or two, but show mercy. And drop us a line. We'd love to continue the dialogue in the comments, or send us an email at thetable@roundtablepodcast.com. Until next time, dear friends, we will catch you on the flip-flop side. And what should they do, Bri?
They should definitely, after this particular episode, get those butts in seats and go right.
Go right. If nothing else, write an email.
Right.
All right. You guys are awesome. We'll see you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been part two of the Roundtable Podcast Goes to Balticon and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Go to creativecommons.org for more information. Special thanks to Jared Axelrod, Starla Hutchton, John Miro, Scott Roche, Mer Lafferty, Justin McCumber, and Mike Cole for sharing their thoughts and insights and allowing Brian and I to share it with our listeners and to wax and riff philosophical with the gold that you offered. We deeply appreciate it. Part one of the Roundtable Podcast Goes to Balticon is available at our website, www.roundtablepodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in.